Got some correspondence, Martin.
Oh, yeah. Great. I love correspondence.
You might remember we had our pal Liz from Douzepoix, the podcast.
Yes.
Australian podcast. She was talking about Montaigne, who's not going to be able to perform live in Rotterdam. She has to perform in Australia. Well, she wasn't a fan, I think it's fair to say, of Montaigne, was she? And the song Technicolor?
No. This is Liz from a few weeks ago not being very happy about Australia's Eurovision entry.
We are so, so sorry. We had no choice. We had no say. I can't get behind this. Oh, I am very sorry for what Australia is going to do to you this year. Oh, if not only because the artist has thrown in all those wobbling, inappropriate key changes that for some reason the artist seemed to love so much. I do apologise. Oh, this isn't our finest Johnny Logan style hour.
Yeah, fair to say she didn't love it. And we had some reaction to that. Charlotte Gore on Twitter, thank you very much for tweeting in. She was up in arms about Liz's reaction to this. I think it's fair to say she said, "This Lizzie who felt the need to apologise for Montaigne. Outrageous. I love Montaigne and her song. No apology required except from Liz."
There you go. Liz, consider yourself warned. I love the fact that people are very, very passionate when it comes to their opinions of songs. It's what we love about Eurovision and what we celebrate here on this podcast, Nulpois.
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for Eurovision.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Yes, indeed. And I'll give you more details about how you can get in touch if you're also outraged at Liz later on in the show. But yes, this is Nulpois. We're a UK-based Eurovision fan podcast. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we are trying to learn. I'm Laura. That's Martin. Today, we've got some very exciting stuff to get through because rehearsals have started off for Eurovision. Fine. It's mad to think, Martin, it's less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, it really is kind of mad to think that.
It's great.
Because
the
build-up has been longer than usual because the build-up's been 2 years long rather than 1 year long.
Exactly.
So anyway, we're going to obviously talk about that for a lot of the podcast today. Also, we have another edition of Trivia Time where we give you a little bit of Eurovision from years gone by madness. And we're also going to let you know our plans for what we're going to be doing with this podcast during the week of Eurovision because we've got some special bonus episodes for you to enjoy, just sort of giving our reaction. So we're going to go through our plan for Eurovision week and what Nulpois will be doing. So all of that to come here on Nulpois. But back to those rehearsals. And this is great because it's given us a bit of an insight into what the staging for some of these is going to be like. We've only had one set of rehearsals that we've seen so far, but there's been a few countries there that already I'm starting to think the staging could really be something that could be doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And that is often what happens at Eurovision. Now, you might get quite a good-ish song that's really elevated by the staging. This is great. Eurovision.tv, the website, has released a live blog. It's going to be doing this every day, the rehearsals. And we've got rehearsals now until next Saturday, obviously, and then it will go into the semi-finals. So lots to get through. We're only going to go through, as we said, the ones that have come out on Saturday at the moment. But that's, you know, still six countries we've been able to take a look at all rehearsing at the Ahoy Arena in Rotterdam, except for one, of course, Australia. Was part of the, well, there were seven that rehearsed and Australia was the one that didn't rehearse live because, as we said, Paul Montaigne is not going to be performing at the Ahoy Arena. It was something
Liz's delight.
Something Liz very happy to see. But yes, as you said, it gives a great insight. I think I'll pick one first that we've seen so far and that I'm intrigued by. Lithuania, The Roop performing Discotheque. Now, we've seen their music video for this and it's interesting. They basically seems to have related the video onto the stage, pretty much scene by scene. They're in those big yellow outfits we see in the music video. They've still got the sort of weird dance moves. They're dancing behind this kind of like chessboard, this black and white chessboard that comes up on the big screen. And they've got the moves. They've got these sort of big yellow wide trousers. And yeah, it looks, once again, a very polished performance from Lithuania.
I'm going to talk about Russia just because I think this could really make the performance. We talked a lot about Russia actually in the previous episode, which if you haven't listened to yet, really go and check that out. It is great. We'll give you more details about it later. But we were talking to the BBC's Moscow correspondent Steve Rosenberg. Really great episode, so make sure you give that a listen. Back to the rehearsal, and Manisha, who is this kind of larger than life character, we've seen a lot from her in the way she performs on stage. What we got from the rehearsal was just that times about a billion.
Yeah.
The first thing to tell you about is her costume.
Yes.
Which, is it a mechanical dress she's in, or is it, I can't quite work it out. There seems to be some sort of structure behind it that makes it enormous.
Yes.
And it's almost like, I think it must be on wheels.
I think it is.
Wheels around the stage for the first bit of her act. Then a sort of door at the front of this massive dress, which looks very bizarre. It looks like something that your gran might make. All sorts of like bits of scrap and rags all put onto this very oddly coloured coloured dress.
It looks a bit like a kind of rural Russian dress, doesn't it? But times 100, yeah.
Yeah. She pops out of the door in the front of the dress on wheels, and there she is in the red boiler suit, which we've seen her in before, hair up, and she's just launching into it. There's pyrotechnics, there's sort of flames whooshing out. This is a big, big, big stage performance, and as we've talked about many, many times, this could give her the edge.
I think it can. The song is great. The song is upbeat, and we were talking with Steve Rosenberg in the previous episode. He was saying he wasn't sure because it's quite a tricky song to remember. It's not necessarily got that really clean straight hook, but I think this might lift it to make it quite memorable. So definitely really excited about Russia and Manisha with the Russian woman. As you said, the pyrotechnics as well, there's a huge flames bursting out, so yeah, that one, very excited for that. We also saw Sweden, which is Tuse and Voices.
Now, yeah, this in fact, one, Manisha from Russia and Tuse from Sweden met up backstage. There's a little photo of them sort of 2 meters apart, giving a bit of a wave to one another, which was
having
nice
a bit
to
of
see.
A dance. Mm. That made me really think, oh God, I wish we were there, Martin. I was just when I saw that picture, it was like people messing around backstage, having fun. And it just reminded me of going to like the Eurovision Village. By the way, just to say, there is a Eurovision Village this year. It's virtual.
Of course there is. Will
you be going, Martin, to the virtual Eurovision Village? Can't even say it.
I think I might give it a miss, to tell you the truth.
Let's face it, that they're not the best when they're not virtual.
I know.
Anyway, moving on. Sweden, Tuse Voices. I would say this again looked like a very polished performance. It looked very similar to what we saw at Melfest, the final. It's sort of Tuse walking down this big, long kind of corridor. He's got lights in the background. He's got backing singers. He's got a slightly different outfit. He's got the kind of similar red velvet outfit, but he's got this kind of bejeweled black sleeve as well. Again, I think it highlights what the rule that they brought in about you don't have to have your backing singers can be pre-recorded. Which is something they brought in, obviously, so that people didn't have to bring loads of delegations. Basically, people could pre-record their backing vocals rather than also have live backing singers on stage as well. And I think that gets heard a bit in the chorus of Tuse Voices. A solid performance. It looks very much like, I would say, like the Melfest final we both watched.
Yeah, he's a very, very strong performer, to be honest. I'm not sure he really needs anything extra to make him stand out.
No.
It's a very, very good song. Should we talk about North Macedonia and Vasil? Because he's gone for a little quirky costume change at one point.
He has, and I love this. This is so Eurovision. He has a sort of black, I think, jacket or top over it, and then he sort of opens it up, and what is it? It is this sparkly silver disco vest. I love it. Yeah. It's great. Very yeah. Eurovision.
Extremely Eurovision. He is absolutely going for it. Also, by the way, just some of the other performers that we've seen so far, because these are just the beginnings of rehearsals, just the first day. So not all the countries have been represented so far. These are just the first few. We've seen Ireland take part. Mm. Nothing really, good old Leslie Roy. Nothing that stand out. I mean, there's something to do with maps.
I'll be honest, just looking at that, and there's some quite strong people in that first semi-final. I don't know if Ireland's going to get through again, which would be a real shame. I'd love to see Ireland in the final. It's been a while now since they were able to make it to the final, but I'm not sure. No, I mean, still, you know, lovely song, Leslie Roy, very strong, passionate singer, but I just think in the mix with others and judging by that, who knows, maybe the whole song there'll be a bit more to it, but not sure at the moment.
And finally, Slovenia.
Yes.
And Anna from Slovenia is off into space.
She is, yes. Anna, lovely voice, a powerful voice. She's got this lovely white outfit. And basically she's taking us apparently on a journey from the cosmos to the ocean, as you do. You know, sometimes I go for a little trip to the town centre, but Anna wants us to go from the cosmos to the ocean. Yeah. Fair enough, yeah. Anna.
Oh, absolutely.
And yes, it's a sort of typical otherworldly backdrop. I say typical, but you do get it quite a lot in Eurovision, where there's sort of stars and the sky, and then it's take us back down. And she's got this big white outfit on her. There's these UFO lights around her. So yeah, that's going to be quite an interesting one. I think quite fitting with the song as well.
What I'd say then, just based on those very few that we've seen so far, the standout one for me, and I'm sure you're going to say the same, is Russia. It is completely bonkers, really in keeping with her personality, which comes across really, really well in what they've decided to go for. And it makes it stand out in a way that you will remember maybe even more than the song. I am sure that will help her.
I think so. It's powerful, it's boisterous, it's in your face. And I think people are going to really love that. So it reminds me a bit of Netta and Toy, which obviously won. So yeah, really excited to see the full length version of that.
We can't give you information on every single one because, of course, they haven't yet rehearsed. But a great place to go is the Eurovision website, Eurovision.tv. There's a live blog there and they are putting things out as and when it happens at the Ahoy Arena in these rehearsals. So if you do want a little behind the scenes of some of the other countries that are taking part, that is the place to go.
Right, so we've given you all the sort of rehearsal plans of what they're doing, but what are we going to be doing for Eurovision week, Martin?
Well, we have got some bonus episodes for you, and we thought we'd give you our plan for how we're going to bring you our reaction to the semi-finals and then the final. On next Sunday, so a week today, if you're listening to it on the day this came out, we are going to be
not if you're not
and not if you're not. This is how podcasts work. But on Sunday we were going, oh god, this is a nightmare. Sunday the 16th we're going to be releasing,
yes, just say that, Sunday the 16th. That is when we're going to be doing our big, because we'll have had all the rehearsals then. We'll have seen little snippets of the staging. So we're going to give you our rehearsal roundup, basically. We're going to say, this is what we've seen so far. This is what we liked. This is what we didn't like. This is what to watch out for. And I think that's going to be a really good bumper episode of just really getting into the beginning, just the end of the sort of rehearsals and looking ahead to what's to come.
Then we're going to bring you some reaction, immediate reaction from the first semi-finals and then immediately after the final as well. So they're going to be slightly later at night. They'll probably be a little bit shorter than usual, but it will just be Cress and I giving our immediate thoughts as to how we think the semi-finals and the final has gone. So that's going to be on Tuesday, on Thursday, and then immediately after the final on Saturday. So a very, very late night one on the Saturday. Maybe ever so slightly
pished.
Yes, maybe. Maybe. We shall see. And then what we're going to do, so that'll be our very, very first sort of initial thoughts, what we think of it. So you'll be able to hear it from the horse's mouth.
So
then on Sunday, which is what? The 23rd. We're going to be bringing you another full-length edition of Nul Poir, a little bit more of a considered thought as to what we enjoyed,
hungover.
What we didn't enjoy, a hungover thought as to what we enjoyed about the Eurovision Song Contest this year. That is the plan. So an additional 3 bonus episodes of Nul Poir right through Eurovision week.
Yes, there you go. So put it in your diaries. Next week, rehearsal roundup 16th, then 18th, 20th, 22nd, the reaction straight after the semi-finals and the final, 23rd, big long review episode.
The time, my friend, has come. And
to talk of many things.
Yes. And what shall we do right now? What time is it?
It's trivia time!
Yeah, it's that bit of the podcast where we give you some information about Eurovision's gone by that we think is a little bit quirky and worth knowing about. Cress has the gauntlet thrown down this time to give us that nugget of information. So what you got?
Yeah, and it's just a little bit, Martin, about the first finalist in the history of the competition to sing entirely in falsetto. I don't know if you've got any idea who that might have been.
I can't quite think who it is, but I am going to give you a little example of what falsetto involves.
Oh, no.
So, here is me singing normally, and then here is me singing normally.
Oh, gosh. I do apologise, everybody. That's not what I was intending this to turn into. Sorry. I'm sorry if any glasses broke or windows or anything while that was going on. But yes, it wasn't Martin doing that. It was actually Romania's, I think, Caesar, C-E-Z-A-R, so probably Caesar, who did it in 2013. So, you know, it was quite a modern addition to the record book. But and he sang It's My Life entirely in falsetto, dressed like a Dracula.
Which is one of those Eurovision phrases that seems totally normal in the sort of the month of May. But at any other point, you'd be thinking, what on earth? Of course he did. He did it as Dracula and he sung entirely in falsetto. That is the Eurovision Song Contest.
There you go. He also appeared to levitate halfway through. Maybe that was to reach some of the higher notes. Who knows? Unfortunately, the whole thing, although being gloriously over the top, didn't really impress anybody. He finished 13th in the final. Not terrible.
No,
on 65 points. Mm. But that did include 10s from Moldova, which you might expect, and Greece. So there you go. That Caesar, dressed like Dracula, singing It's My Life. That was the first ever falsetto performance on Eurovision.
Okay, Chris. Thank you for that edition of Trivia Time! Very, very good. Earlier on in the podcast, I mentioned that you need to go and listen to the last podcast that we just did if you haven't already heard our chat with the BBC's Moscow correspondent, Steve Rosenberg. Go and have a listen to that. If you want a bit more information about the Russian entry, which we mentioned earlier on in this podcast, it's so worth listening to, isn't it?
It definitely is. It was a great interview and really pleased that Steve agreed to do it with us. And yeah, definitely listen back to that one, especially since we've been talking about the Russian entry. You can find about what Steve thinks about it as BBC's Moscow correspondent. Also, of course, as we're coming up to the time, Eurovision time, of course, you might realise, I don't know if you've noticed that that's happening, but basically we did an episode where we told you all our songs to watch out for at Eurovision 2021. So if you're getting into the spirit now, if you're like, there's not much time left, I need to know a little bit about some of the main players, not necessarily all the ones that are going to win, but just the interesting ones, the quirky ones, as well as the good ones. We've got an episode for you. It singles out our ones to watch for Eurovision 2021. Handily, it's called Songs to Watch Out For at Eurovision 2021. You can't really miss it. Do take a listen to that and then you'll be all clued up for the final.
Yeah, it is definitely one worth listening to, as well as the previous one we did, which is called From Russia with Eurovision Love. Okay, that's almost it. I think we have some time for a little more. Correspondents, people who've got in touch with us.
Yes, it's not just the lovely Charlotte Gore. Thank you so much for doing that. And if you do want to tweet us, we are at Poir Null on Twitter, P-O-O. POINTSNUL. But remember, Martin, don't know if you remember, we have a YouTube page as well.
Yes, I remember. Why do you always ask me if I remember? I remember.
I'm on it. Which, yes, you are on it. You are, as am I. And it's basically the... what we do on the Nullpoir YouTube page is we make videos where we look back at some of the entries that scored the dreaded Nullpoir and we decide, did they deserve it? We give a little reaction, basically, to the Nullpoir videos and then give our scores as well. Thank you very much to JP Cross, who has commented.
JP Cross.
Thank you so much, JP Cross, for your comment. We love your comment. Thank you so much. He commented on, I assume it's he, by the way, and it might not be JP, who knows? But you commented on our Eurovision YouTube video, did Gemini's Crybaby deserve Nullpoir? JP said, this is a great song, yes, dated now, but my God, this performance is just hilariously terrible. I think we can agree with that. The song perhaps on its own didn't deserve Nullpoir, but the performance and the singing quality definitely did. So I think agree with you there, JP.
Yeah, if you want to check out our YouTube page, that is what we do. We have a look at a particular Eurovision song which got Nullpoir in the competition, and we decide whether we agree with that ruling, whether it deserved to have Nullpoir, or whether, oh, it seems a little harsh to get absolutely nothing. So there's a few videos on there which you might want to have a little watch of.
Yes, and don't forget, of course, we are on Instagram, Nullpoir Podcast as well. Check that out. And on YouTube, it's just Nullpoir. It's very easy to find us there. So lots of ways you can get in touch. Do subscribe if you're enjoying it, because, as I said, we've got lots of episodes coming up now which you'll want to listen to if you're a big Eurovision fan, or if you're a casual Eurovision fan. It's going to give you all the knowledge you need. So do subscribe, drop us a 5-star review. We're obviously on Spotify, iTunes, all of that good stuff. And really looking forward, Martin, to these next few episodes.
I am as well. Have you noticed as well that people now are starting, it's starting to get into people's minds that it's coming up soon? You know, we're in May. We're starting
so
to hear news about it, and that's happening. And people will then come and talk to me, and I don't know whether they talk to you as well and do the same thing. Martin, you're into Eurovision, aren't you? Did you see this? Look, we've been talking about it for a year.
It's like people are like, oh, I didn't know Flo Rida. It's like, yes, for goodness sake, old news, get on with it.
but we are welcoming you whether you are an absolute Eurovision fanatic or whether you only watch it once a year and don't engage with it at any other point. You are welcome to this podcast. We are all learning about the madness that is the biggest TV show in the world, and we love it, love it, love it. Thank you for listening to this edition. We will be back next week when the Eurovision will be almost upon us. We'll see you again on another edition of Cress
Nullpoir.